Hey, it's Cindy Howes and Lizzie Noh from the podcast Basic Folk, honest conversations with folk musicians.
Basic Folk is truly changing the game with our well-researched deep dives that aim to empower the listener while fostering the folk community.
I basically am writing worship music for youth group rejects.
Maternal regrets and maternal guilt are universal.
I try to make things that are beautiful and that are made with like a purity of intention.
You can listen to Basic Folk on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network or at basicfolk.com.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Bree Bagwell.
So anytime your music is not only streamed on Spotify, played on the radio, but if someone puts your song on Instagram story, TikTok, or any of those social media platforms, if they get on their Peloton and they pick a Bree Bagwell song,
is that a thing? Well, I want that to be a thing.
Yeah.
PRO, Performing Rights.
Performance
Rights.
Performing Rights Organization.
Okay. Hey, hey, everybody. This is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends. They love it. I literally just walked in here 2 minutes ago. You saw.
I did. But you've been walking in looking like a movie star, so.
Thank you. I would like to be a movie star. Can BMI get me into acting? Do you have any acting connections for me? I think I always wanted to be an actress, but then whenever I do music videos and stuff and they're like, okay, now go pick up that whiskey bottle. And then all of a sudden the camera's on you and you're like, I don't remember how to walk.
Yeah, right. I always thought about that, you know. It was like all of a sudden you had to like read a script. Are you gonna sound like a robot or something?
Totally. Or like accent.
Yeah. Is it gonna sound natural? I don't know.
No. But. And I don't think you can be like, you can't throw someone out on stage and they're amazing right away as a singer. Maybe they are sometimes, very rarely. I feel like it's the same with acting. Like, I'd have to really be invested. But we're not here to talk about my acting career. Unless you want me to be in your movie, call me. I'll do it for free. This is Mitch Ballard of Body Mass Index, and I was Googling today, doing some Googling, and that came up. So it is Broadcast Music Incorporated.
That's it. And we are celebrating as a company 85 years in business. And I love telling people here in Texas that Willie's been with us 65 of those 85 years. Mm-hmm. And so then we're celebrating 5 years this March of 2019. Our fifth year having the Austin office, which is our eighth office. So New York, LA, Nashville, Atlanta, Miami, London, Austin. And then we have a guy in DC that it's all legislative and copyright law and those things. Yeah.
It feels like just yesterday when they were telling me that they were going to open the BMI office in Texas.
It has flown by.
And how do you not spend all your life savings at Perla's? Because the office is right above, right?
I know, right?
And it's
we overlook Perla's patio.
Oh my gosh! And a beautiful day, and you're like, I'm just gonna hang it up and go have some day beers, but you can't. You're on the clock.
Unless I'm on the clock. We're gonna have to just watch everybody else down there having fun.
Oh man! Well, I need to come to your office soon so I can go get the oysters and the
We'll do a
day champagne
4 p.m. lunch.
Right. Hey, it sounds good to me. Put it on the company.
Come on, let's do it.
Just kidding. But I'm really thrilled. So why? I mean, what do you think the benefit of having an office here? I mean, I personally know the benefit to us, but I would like you to tell that.
I think the benefit for BMI is, you know, BMI has been coming back and forth to Austin since 1970. And I have some cool pictures up in our conference room of music business conference we did in 1974. But I think the big advantage of being here day to day is just developing stronger relationships, identifying emerging talent quicker, and also just being day to day support. You know, there's a lot of times we just get a question, you know, and it may be somebody well known or it may be somebody emerging and they call and go, hey, you know, I had an instance where an artist called and said, hey, I think we're going to get a song in Yellowstone, how does sync work? And I told them how sync worked, and you know, I was able to just answer a question, and right. and they knew what to expect from there, and they ended up getting the song in there, and it was a really cool opportunity for them.
That's awesome. And I know, I mean, shout out to K-Town, Kristen Townsend. I mean, I told her in passing once she started working there that I was like really trying to clean up some of my catalog mm-hmm. because when I was at Sony, they had cataloged my songs in different, because my name is actually Brianna, so it gets very yep. complicated, and she was able to kind of go in there and just fix it for me, which was like, I've been trying to do that for a long time, and having that resource is just really amazing. So yeah, it's we're thrilled call. You're here.
No, she does an incredible job, and she's been with us 4.5 years.
Wow.
However, I've known her for 15 years. I met her back in probably, you know, 2008, 2009, do the math there. So a little over 15 years when she was with Lone Star Music.
Right. And I, not to rat out K-Town, but she, we were at Poor House and she showed me a cassette tape of you. And you had, I'm going to ask, well, we don't have to post it, but we got to show some people that cassette tape. Your hair.
I had hair on top and hair longer than yours.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And you were a singer-songwriter, are still.
Songwriter. So in the 90s, that was a big thing, is you would actually have physical product with your picture instead of having, you know, just a cassette with your name on it. It was kind of more presented, you know, as an artist type thing. But I moved to Nashville strictly to write songs. My goal was like this trifecta, write songs, produce records, and work at a record label, kind of like what Mark Wright or Keith Stegall was doing back then. So that was my publisher demo tape that I walked up and down Music Row. And
how did that go for you?
Ended up getting a publishing deal with a guy named Jerry Cupid, Cupid Music. And it was funny. There's a song on there too that Tim McGraw put on hold. I wrote with Big Kenny from Big and Rich.
Yeah.
Had us rewrite the second verse, and we did. Then I ended up not cutting it. Thanks, Tim.
Tim, what the hell? It's not too late.
It's not too late.
Like George Strait cutting Wrapped by Bruce. Wasn't that like 20 years or something later that
probably
George Strait cut that song? So maybe he listens to this podcast. We don't know who listens to this podcast.
You never know.
Tim, cut that song.
Yeah, but that cassette tape is 90s country at its finest right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would love to hear it. And I love that you write songs, because a lot of times when you're working with people in Nashville or just people in labels and publishers or whatever, like when I had my publishing deal, my publisher wasn't a musician. So it was like kind of strange to me that people were working in the music business, but they didn't have knowledge of writing or instruments or anything.
Yeah.
So,
I know people in the music business that are incredible song people, and they know a hit song, but they're not a writer and they're not a musician. So I don't think that's a prerequisite. I don't think that's a requirement, but yeah, I'm a guitar player, songwriter. I've had songs cut. I haven't had a big hit, but I have had probably 15, 20 songs, something like that cut. I've been blessed to play on the Grand Ole Opry stage 13 times.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, twice at the Ryman, 11 times over at the Opry House. So
no way.
Been playing guitar a long time.
That's incredible. I know. You're always... By the way, are you open on Saturday? My... two of my guys are having babies at the same time, and it's been like wild trying to get both of them replaced. So I'm totally kidding. But it is actually just like a second guitar. So
yeah, here you go. Come on.
Mitch is like, I'm not here to do this podcast to help you with your band. No. Are you the mayor of Devil's Backbone of Fisher, Texas?
Well, I don't know if I'm the mayor, but I'm definitely a bar council member there. So,
I love seeing you there.
Yeah, I live, you know, 5 minutes from it.
Did you buy the house because you love Devil's Backbone?
No, actually, I met a girl during COVID. And it's interesting, I was living in downtown Nashville, and I was looking at houses somewhere in the Driftwood, Wimberley, Blanco triangle. That's kind of where I wanted to find a house. And hopefully, like, you know, that would be the house I retire in one day. And met a girl at the Devil's Backbone Tavern, and we got married, and guess where she had a house?
Uh-huh.
In that triangle. Now we have a daughter.
Now that is like the universe divine intervention right there. Like
right?
Your favorite bar, and she has a house right there.
That's exactly right.
I remember
right.
you telling me that, and I was like, that is the perfect person for you. And she is awesome.
Oh,
and
she is
baby,
awesome.
And that's so fun.
Yeah. She understands this crazy business, too, and our very unconventional, you know, careers that we have chosen, and the hours, yeah. And the inconsistency in regular schedule, and
right.
you know, those last minute things that pop up where you get a call that, hey, can you come to Nashville for this tomorrow? And so she's very, very supportive and understanding about that.
That's very lucky, because it is, I mean, I've found that too. It's really nice, but it's very rare, because
no, it is.
We're in bars overnight, and then we're not even working all day like you guys are in the office too. So you do the office and then you do shows at night, and then
right.
you guys are always traveling. I don't know how you do it. So she's a saint, you're the saint. Good job. That's a lot going on. But I definitely want to tell people, because I'm with BMI and I have had a really great experience. And so BMI, if you don't know, they collect the radio royalty. This is such a tongue twister. Do you do that every day of your life?
Yes, but you know, I've gotten to
radio
the point
royalties,
where it's
kind of radio royalties.
It's performance royalties, which started out, you know, with venues and radio, and it has evolved into when television came out, and then the internet that really changed things a lot. So anytime your music is not only streamed on Spotify, played on the radio, but if someone puts your song on Instagram story, TikTok, or any of those social media platforms, if they get on their Peloton and they pick a Bree Bagwell song,
is that,
that is all it is.
Well, I
it
want
is.
That to be a thing.
Yeah.
PRO, performing rights.
Performance
rights.
Performing rights organization.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just have to, because sometimes people throw acronyms out when you get to Nashville, and like, if you don't know that what PRO means, like I didn't know for a long time.
Well, it's confusing.
Yeah.
And especially the song piece of it, because it's easy to go, all right, Saxon Pub holds 125 people. If, you know, I sell tickets for $20 a piece, $2,500, and, you know, I pay my band, and here's what's left over. You know, it costs me $5 for a shirt. I sell it for $20. I make $15. That's all real easy, cut and dry. And here's what gas costs. Here's what it costs to do a show, to get there and back, hotel rooms.
Counseling.
Then comes the songwriting part.
Yeah.
There's performance rights. Then there's mechanical royalties. And then now you can, like, buy a download. So there's digital mechanicals as well. There's sound exchange, if you played on the record, sang on them, all these different pieces that... And unless someone sits down and explains it to you, it can be very complicated. It's not just cut and dry as a ticket's $20 and this many people are going to be at the show and done.
But even if they explain it to you, like, it's still complicated. But I have an admin now that mm-hmm. she helps me, I guess, get all of that in order. But I was really behind on Sound Exchange, so I would encourage you, if you have not gone on there in a while, to just claim your royalties on there.
Yep.
That's separate.
Yep, exactly. That's separate. So that's like I've produced some records. I've played guitar on some records and background vocals, and that all comes through
Sound Exchange. Okay.
And, you know, so as an artist, you know, you get paid on Spotify as well. You get paid, I think it's, you know, 140 times more than you get paid, you know, if you wrote the song. But there's all these moving parts, and the revenue stream of songwriting and publishing has been, and always is, has been, pennies and fractions of pennies. And so it's, hey, there's a few pennies over here, there's a few pennies over here, knowing, and publisher admins know how to do that. They check the couch cushions
right.
for money that's in there. And a big thing that I see artists making mistakes is they don't input their live set lists.
That was on my list to talk to you about.
Yeah.
Because I do that. And I can't remember if it was you that told me to start doing that or not, but BMI Live, it's just on the website, and you go and yep. it saves your set list, so you don't have to enter the set list every time. You can just click. I have like 2024 90 minute, 2024
yep.
60 minute, and then I get paid for playing my own songs live.
That's right, and it can turn into significant money. You know, I had an artist reach out to me and they go, hey, we're getting ready to do 12 shows opening up for an internationally famous rock band. And I'm like, you better start doing your BMI Live. And they we met at Perla's afterwards, and they bought me a beer because it was a significant bump because they're opening big arenas in front of, you know, audiences of 10, 15,000 people a night, and it really can turn into money. And also for, you know, the acoustic, you know, solo performer that plays 5, 6, you know, days a week, hits a brewery, you know, on Saturday afternoon, then hits some other place on Saturday night. It all turns in and all starts adding up.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to sponsor this amazing podcast, all you have to do is email onlyvanspodcast@gmail.com.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Bree and Whiskey sent you.
I noticed a significant bump in my check the first time that I did it, and I just have it on my calendar once a month to go input it, and sometimes you got to create a new venue. I think I got a venue in trouble once for not... They hadn't paid their BMI license.
Well, they should be. And so artists that are listening to this, you know, understand that, you know, it's federal law that these, that venues are required, and Instagram and TikTok and Peloton, all these people that have music, it is protecting your intellectual property, the songs that you've created, that you've written and you own and are protected by federal copyright law. It's federal law that they have, that they are supposed to pay a licensing fee. This isn't something that BMI and the other companies made up.
Right.
This was a group of songwriters in the early 1900s went to the U.S. Copyright Office and said, we're not getting paid when our songs are being played in restaurants and live venues and this new thing, radio. And the U.S. Copyright Office agreed. So it's mandated by federal government. Just like, in, you know, just like you have to pay your taxes. And so it's not, it's something that is in place for you, the songwriter, to get fairly paid for the music that you've created.
Right. Or them playing the radio or anything like that.
Yeah.
It all goes through there. I always wonder, is the radio still like a sampling of markets that they pay out? I thought like when I first started that they were saying that BMI takes a sampling of radio stations and then they pay kind of based on that percentage. Or is it actually like pay per play with radio now because of technology?
I'm not positive. We're a creative office here, and you know, we have a licensing team in Nashville, and there's some really smart people that, you know, figure out as accurately as possible,
kidding,
you know, to pay out. And it's something that BMI strives to do to make sure that they are, you know, getting as much accurate data as possible, you know, to accurately pay the songwriters.
Yeah.
As they should.
I was just curious because, yeah, I bet, I think that they're always, it always seems like that, like everyone's improving on their technology and I've had so many great experiences with BMI. I think like when I first started, I had my rep there was Beth Laird.
Yeah.
And then, so she left to go manage her songwriting husband. That seems to be working out really well.
Yeah, they've done pretty well.
She was Beth Mason, her maiden name. So she's been doing great. But I think that it's important that people know that they can reach out and y'all actually respond with like tools that people can actually implement. And you've been such a resource to me. So what advice would you have for just somebody that's just starting, like who doesn't know where to start, maybe?
I think starting out with BMI.com. There's so many things there that are explained in real short, you know, concise, to the point. Hey, here's how this is paid. Here's how this is paid. And there's a whole careers section. There's a whole section for creators and career resources. And there's videos and there's articles and there's all these explanations on how everything pays and when we pay and that type of thing. So that's a great place to start as well. And real quick on BMI Live. So any artists that are listening to this, if you haven't done BMI Live, you can go back 6 months.
Right.
So it doesn't matter when you're listening to this podcast. You know, if it's 2 years from now, you can go back 6 months from the first time you hear this podcast.
Yeah, do it. It's definitely
from the current
worth
date.
The money. It's very fun. And I also can put my covers in there. I put my covers in there.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you do a, you know, a song of one of your friends or something like that, then, or you know, even if you don't know the person, then that writer will get paid for it.
Yeah. put my songs in there.
There you go.
You know, everyone's out there just covering Brie Bagwell songs, putting it in BMI.
Live. I hope so.
Me too. Give me those. It all adds up. It all adds up. I'm just so thrilled that you're here. And what advantage, I mean, I don't even know. We can cut this out if it's not good. But what advantage do you think BMI has over the competition?
Well, I look at, and before I was with BMI, you know, I grew up in Texas. I moved to Nashville to get in the music business, and I was there 27 years. And then I got hired by BMI. I saw firsthand as a songwriter, you know, on the outside looking in, there's Rooftop on the Road, there's ACL stage, there's South by Southwest, there's Hangout Fest, there's Lollapalooza stage, there's one music fest in Atlanta, there's school night, there's White Claw events, there's all these things that I see that BMI actively looks for ways to help promote their artists. And we're heavily involved in this office of booking Lollapalooza, South by, ACL Fest. We have a stage at CMA Music Fest, and we have been, we book what we like to consider emerging talent. And we've had, you know, at our Lollapalooza stage, we've had Halsey, we've had Lady Gaga, ACL stage, we had Billy Strings, played in front of about 300 people, now he's selling out arenas. We had Casey right. Musgraves, Luke Combs, etc. So I look at what BMI does as a company to help promote and to shine the light on the artists, and they're incredibly proactive. And I saw that as a culture of the company before I even worked for them.
Totally. When I first got there, I got on the Crested Butte BMI Songwriters Fest, and I got to meet Dean Dillon and Ronnie Clawson, Nicole Galyon. I got to meet all of those amazing people. And then I got to go to the BMI Key West Songwriters Festival a couple times. And so definitely I have severely benefited from them thinking I was an emerging talent at the time. I don't know. I'm still emerging. I think I need to go back somewhere. But I've seen it firsthand what they can do. And it's just like tonight. So tonight we're at Saxon Pub. We got to give them a shout out because they're giving us the green room. But do you want to tell everyone what you guys have been doing here?
Sure. So we started our, you know, so we have our local initiatives as well, where we have our BMI Saxon Songwriter Series that we started in August or September of 2019. We've booked over 200 BMI artists. It's a writer's round that happens the first Monday of each month. The Saxon Pub, Joe Abels, Jody Witherspoon, they have been incredible partners with BMI. So that's what we do. We feature six writers, and tonight is kind of kicking off our fifth anniversary informally. Formally is going to be next week during South By. But that's what tonight is. And
it's exciting.
It is. And we do a full band pop rock indie showcase. It's still Austin Whiskey Company. We do a rap and hip hop showcase a couple of times a year because we're all genres. And especially Austin in this region with all the different, you know, there's definitely a melting pot of genres. And so we deal with rap, hip hop, indie, Latin, country, and everything in between.
That's so awesome. And every time I come, I haven't been that much, but when I come to your office, you always have people coming and going. I'm like, hey, Mitch, when do you get your work done? Like, do you have any time to yourself? Like, when do you have to go in at like 3 a.m. before all of us come to bug you and never leave? I don't know. You don't have to answer that. But that is a legit question. I don't know when you get it done.
You know, it's great time management. I like to think.
Could you teach the rest of us who are over here? Like, please help us. Well, I know that you've got to meet a lot of cool people, and we're like nearing the end. But I was just wondering if you had any like specific stories or specific, just really great moments of your career that you.
Wow, you know, that's.
Or people you've gotten to meet. I mean, you got to meet everybody you've met.
I have been very, very fortunate. I mean, I'm a kid that grew up down a dirt road in Fairfield, Texas, and. You know, and dreamed of being in the music business. And I think the premiere, the top one was, you know, especially the first time I walked out on the Grand Ole Opry stage, 25 years ago. It was a cool night back in August of 2019. My parents are now retired, and so they were able to come out and see me play the Opry with Gary P. Nunn, and then also Jeannie Seely that night sang a song that I wrote.
Oh my gosh,
And she always says it from the stage, and when she plays it on Sirius XM, it's written by my dear friends, Mitch Ballard and Penn Pennington. So it's cool to have my parents there to hear a song I wrote being played on the Opry.
I knew you had a cut by her, and I think that's the coolest thing ever.
and get to play. They'd seen me play on TV before, but it was the first time they got to see me play live. And so I think there's been so many great stories.
Yeah. Most importantly, being on this podcast, I think this is a highlight of your whole career.
This is number two next to the Opry.
Okay,
sorry.
Okay, great. I know we just got back. Paul just played the Opry, and this girl took a video of me. I was just ugly crying the whole time. It was just so special.
There's nothing like it.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I also think that it's important that, I don't know, I said it earlier, I alluded to it, the fact that you were a singer, you know, songwriter, singer, guitar player, and that you're on this side of the business as well, and you can do both. But I think it's very important that people follow that path, because it's so refreshing talking to someone like you who understands what I do. It just kind of is, I don't know, I would encourage people to follow that path. Am I making sense?
I
love it.
You know, and as a songwriter too, you know, I still write. You know, I'm still on the same highway of the music business. I just kind of switched lanes a little bit. But I think as a songwriter and as a creative, that's something that you don't quit doing. But I found that I was having success a lot quicker than I was on the songwriting side. And so I kind of switched lanes but I'm still doing it.
Yeah, you're still doing it, and you're helping all these other people that do it.
Right.
And, you know, rising tides rises all ships. That's not right. Is that right? I don't know. Put it on a t-shirt. But yeah. I think that's so helpful that you understand all aspects of it. And, yeah, we can write songs. We can write songs forever, and we should write a song sometime.
Let's do it.
Yay, I got it on the podcast, Kyle.
Hey, and that Jeannie Seeley cut, that song was 25 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, no, it was 20 years old.
So you wrote it when you were three?
Something, yeah. Yeah, I wrote it in daycare.
Yeah.
It's written in crayon.
Right. Oh, my gosh. I love it so much. Well, any last things? It's only like, is it what, like $25 to register with BMI or something?
It's 75, and it's changed. It used to be free, now it's 75.
I did it 15 years ago or
something.
Well,
it was free for a very, very long time, and, you know, there's work that has to go in and resources, and so there's...
Totally worth it. You'll make that back, and you can go register your set list, and it's so worth it. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I just didn't know. I'm a long-time customer, or what... A long time
affiliate.
I knew customer wasn't right. So I encourage you to sign up for BMI if you have not already. And thanks for being here.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for having me on your showcase tonight. I feel very honored. Me and Courtney.
That's gonna be a lot of fun.
Patton, Owen Temple, Walt Wilkins, Tina Wilkins, and Mike McClure. What a fun lineup.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a packed house tonight.
Okay,
we've had so many people reaching out. So, and also, if anybody listening to this wants to get in touch with us, it's easy. Austin@BMI.com.
Who's Austin? I'm just kidding. Yes, please do. They will help you out. Don't hesitate to ask questions, and this is my last thing. Don't feel like you're stupid if you don't understand it.
That's
because
right.
It's very complicated, and there are people that can help you. And and we've all felt it. You're not alone.
That's it. Ask the questions.
Ask those questions. Thanks, Mitchell.
Thanks, Bree.
Is that your name?
That is. Okay. See, and I had the same thing in my song catalog. It was like Mitchell Ballard songs, and I had to get all that. See,
Brianna Ray, yep, man.
There you go.
Should have left my name. Sorry, Mom. Cool.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.